The Lord be with you. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. That's a little bit of a change from what was in your bulletin. Verses 23 through 32. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say, 'from heaven,' he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say, 'of human origin,' we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the word of the Lord.
God of the vineyard, naming us to help create fine wine, you honor us in your kingdom. When we are confused about our role, our part, guide us to your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure that I can add too much to the wonderful message, theoretically directed at the children, but actually to all of us, by my colleague, Skip Reed. But I'll give it a shot. Today, as you're all aware, we are celebrating World Communion Sunday, which actually began in the Presbyterian Church, in an attempt to bring churches together in a service of Christian unity. And here we are in Christian unity, in which everyone might receive both inspiration and information, and above all, to know how important the Church of Jesus Christ is, and how each congregation interconnects one with another, and subsequently spreads to all denominations. In 1940, the National Council of Churches endorsed World Communion Sunday and began to promote it to Christian churches worldwide. And so here we are in 2017 with a full house, which is wonderful. Matthew 21, 23, 32. Fairly short gospel. One brother talked the talk. The other brother walked the walk. Jesus asks, which of the two did his father's will? And we need to ask, how do we, as church families of diverse denominations, come together in unity to do our Father's will? How will we walk the walk together in our Elmira community? Today's gospel is a short but powerful parable. To an audience of talkers, Jesus says that talk is cheap. Jesus is in the temple in Jerusalem, and he has not come to find favor with the religious movers and shakers. He hasn't come to whisper sweet nothing in the ears of the choir. Jesus is the new sheriff in town, if you will, sent by his father. And he doesn't like what he sees and what he hears. The Pharisees have argued the life right out of God's covenant. Endless debate and ritual has replaced the purity of devotion. Spiritual leadership has become a trophy for semantic gymnastics, a meaningless prize that went to the clever, not the loving. And with it came the pride of self-satisfied, pious individuals basking in the trappings, not the reality of God's favor. Then along comes Jesus to blow the hot air, the blasphemers, right out of the temple, to replace all the cheap talk with this priceless message. Love the Lord with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. Got it? Good. Go do it. Don't just ask about it. Don't waste time discussing which prayer, which liturgy, which church to meet in, or which one will lead. Just do it. Go into the community together with hearts filled with God's love. At its core, this parable is the pattern of our life with God and our fellow Christians. No matter what we've done or what may have initially prevented us, God is always extending an invitation to each and every one of us. We are continually being drawn into a new place, to new depths of faith, to a new place of divine discovery, of unity in our walk of sisterly and brotherly love together. It doesn't matter if this is the first time we've heard the gospel, or if we've been faithful Christians for years, this parable lays bare the one unarguable fact: God isn't finished with any of us yet. There's no such thing as a retired or part-time disciple of Jesus. In the inimitable words of Nobel laureate Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and I quote, God's family has no outsiders. Everyone is an insider. When Jesus said, if I am lifted up, will draw, did he say, I will draw some and tough luck for the others? No, he said, if I be lifted up, will draw all. 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 Black. White. Yellow. Rich. Poor. Clever. Not so clever. Beautiful. Not so beautiful. All. It is radical. all, gay, lesbian, so-called straight, all are to be held in the incredible embrace of the love that won't let us go. Life with God is always forward-looking, always calling us out of the confines of our past and present into something new. To truly live into God's invitation, we must be willing to leave the past behind, no matter how comfortable, familiar, or profitable, and turn to the future with all its uncertainties, questions, and anxieties. And make no mistake, that's hard to do. Theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer called talking the talk without walking the walk, walking the walk being letting go of the past and moving into the future. Bonhoeffer called it cheap grace. He decried grace without discipleship, being able to parrot the word of Christ while living like the rest of the world. True grace is costly grace, not just talking, but walking with Jesus and shouldering his yoke, individually and as denominations united through hard-won bonds of discipleship. To his clever audience, and to us, Jesus adds a final rebuke and appeal. You folks are too smart for your own good. Snap out of it. God expects a lot more than lip service. John the Baptist proclaimed it, and even the tax collectors and prostitutes heard and understood. So what about us? It's a wake-up call for every one of us and every one of our churches. We can't be just Sunday morning Christians. We have to be 24/7, 365 days a year Christians and congregations, opening not just our doors, but our hearts and our actions to all. We can't say a few prayers, sing a few hymns, and then shed Christ's yoke as we go to coffee hour and walk across the church parking lot. We must live in Christ, and Christ must live in us, full time. We are here to witness his love in the world. This is what World Communion Sunday and every day is all about. Putting differences in style of worship aside, we are here to make a difference, actively helping, sharing, giving, and forgiving, and then getting up the next day and doing it all over again. We are committed to walking the walk with Jesus, and he is committed to walking us all the way home. I want to close with a prayer of the New York Fire Department chaplain, Father Michael Judge, who is a role model for me of how to bring unity in diversity. Michael died walking the walk on 9/11. In his words, let us pray. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet you. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way. Amen.